Since legislation was passed in 1986, employers have been required to inspect and record the work authorization documents of every new hire using the form I-9. Not only has the form itself undergone some changes in recent years, but U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has also updated the I-9 audit process and compliance guidance. Now, these changes were made back in March, and of greatest importance for employers is the expanded definition of what constitutes a substantive violation when completing the form. In essence, some errors and omissions that used to be classified as a technical violation and therefore correctable are now subject to pretty stiff civil penalties. Before we talk about those changes, let's briefly review the audit process. Now, the agency has committed resources so that they are able to conduct up to 15,000 audits each year. Now, an audit still remains a relatively uncommon possibility for most employers, but the agency's increased funding and enforcement efforts have substantially raised the risk compared to a decade ago, when ICE averaged roughly 3,500 audits a year. Now, when a business is selected for an audit, an agent from Homeland Security, ICE, or Homeland Security Investigations will serve the employer a notice of inspection, either in person or by certified mail. The document will request that the company produce all Form I-9s for current and terminated staff, going back 1 to 3 years. It'll also request a list of all employees, the most recent payroll, quarterly reports filed with the IRS, names of contractors and staffing agencies, as well as the company's business license. This demand for document production will normally require production within about 3 business days. Now, at the conclusion of their audit, ICE can find 2 kinds of violations. Technical violations, which are typically minor and easily remedied by correcting the form. Employers usually have about 10 days to meet these corrections. Substantive errors, on the other hand, are paperwork errors that are considered so severe that they suggest that the employer failed to discharge its duty to properly verify a person's eligibility for employment. Now, fines from $288 to as much as $2,861 per form and other enforcement actions typically follow substantive violations. Now, ICE calculates the base fine by dividing chargeable violations by the total number of I-9 forms that should have been presented. The resulting percentage sets the base fine range, which may shift based on whether it's the employer's first, second, or subsequent offense. Other factors are also taken into consideration, like the business size, the history of previous violations, the seriousness of the violations. Now, each factor can move up the fine up or down by 5% for a cumulative adjustment of plus or minus 25%. Good faith demonstrated through proactive self-auditing, training, and prompt correction is the factor most within an employer's control. So we'll revisit that in a moment. Let's get back to errors that are now classified as substantive errors and therefore subject to fines. These errors include an employee's failure to provide their date of birth in Section 1, an employee's failure to list an alien registration number, if appropriate, in Section 1. Also, an employee who fails to record the date in Section 1 next to their signature. Something not well known by a lot of employers, but we can't use the Spanish form unless we're a business doing business in Puerto Rico. So, businesses in the United States have to use the English form and can only use the translated version as a guide. So use of the Spanish language form outside of Puerto Rico is now a substantive fine. Also, failing to record the name and title of the employer representative in Section 2, or failing to fully record or correctly record the list A, B, and/or C documentation in Section 2, regardless of whether a copy of the document that was presented was retained. Also, the employer's failure to list the first day of employment in the certification section is now a substantive error. Failing to ensure that the preparer or translator completed their name, address, signature, or date provided on Form I-9 at the same time of completion in Supplement A. Now, If an employer receives a notice of intent to fine, the employer may request a hearing before an administrative law judge at the office of the Chief Administration Hearing Officer within the Executive Office for Immigration Review. That's a mouthful. The request must be made within 30 calendar days of receipt. If a timely hearing request is filed, the employer may request settlement negotiations with ICE before the hearing. And if a written request for a hearing is not timely received, ICE will issue a final order, and there is no appeal from a final order. Now, if the parties reach agreement, ICE will not file a complaint. But if not, ICE will file the complaint to initiate administrative proceedings. Now, here at Holden Law Group, we have done a lot of Form I-9 audits for clients. And the types of errors that are now substantive errors and subject to these steep penalties are really easy to make. They're common oversights that can happen when someone's just not paying attention, right? So how can employers get ahead and be compliant with these new stricter guidelines? Well, first and foremost, you want to limit the number of staff tasked with completing the Form I-9. And if supervisors need to be tasked with the job, maybe due to a decentralized workforce, right, make sure that they're trained in proper completion of the form and what constitutes a violation. Also, just reviewing the form for omissions, whether by the employee or the employer's representative, can greatly reduce these errors. You also want to make sure you implement a system to track when employment authorization documents need to be re-verified. And recognize that not all documents that expire require re-verification. For instance, documents from List B, like a driver's license. If that expires, you don't need to go back and re-verify it. Another way you can get ahead is conduct an internal I-9 self-audit, focusing mostly on missing signatures and dates, or incomplete Section 2 entries, and check for re-verification accuracy. But before jumping in, employers should be mindful of the steps they should take so that an internal audit doesn't trigger a discrimination or retaliation claim. You want to develop a transparent process, starting with determining the scope of the audit and whether all your forms will be reviewed as part of this internal process or just a random sample. Now, the sample must be just that, random, so it has to be selected on neutral and non-discriminatory criteria. In addition to other steps, you also want to make sure you inform employees in advance in writing that an internal audit will be conducted and include information regarding the scope of the audit and who to speak with if employees have questions or concerns. And most importantly, know that when errors or omissions are recognized on an I-9 form, there's very limited circumstances where it's appropriate to ask the employee to complete a new form. Now, yes, this new compliance guidelines from ICE is onerous and the penalties are stiff. But with some advanced preparation and self-scrutiny, compliance is not insurmountable.